wisdom. It's the principal thing the Word of God said. And I believe if the Lord puts a high priority on something, that you and I want to put a high priority on the same thing. The Word of God said, with all thy getting, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. As I've been mulling this over my heart and my mind, even looking at my own life for 28 years of being saved, I tell you, we've not always been pursuing wisdom the way that we should have been pursuing wisdom. And I believe with all of my heart that the Lord would speak to us this morning from this verse and from this thought on wisdom, the principal thing. Webster defines wisdom in his 1828 version of the dictionary as the right use or exercise of knowledge. I want to say something this morning. You can have knowledge without having wisdom. That's one of the things that's wrong in our country. We have many, many professors in universities across this land that have a world of knowledge and have no wisdom whatsoever. I believe that you can have knowledge and have wisdom, but I believe it's important to understand that wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. In scriptural theology, if you're talking about wisdom and the definition of wisdom, wisdom is true religion. Wisdom is godliness. Wisdom is the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which causes men to depart from evil, and it gives men a sincere desire to obey his Lord. Jesus said like this, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I believe in that day Jesus said that many are going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name?" I want you to understand that's a religious group of people. That's a people that were not trusting in the Lord for a relationship, but they were trusting in their religion for a ticket to heaven. And it's going to let them down hard. Because Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." If you try to go around Calvary, you'll never make it to heaven. If you go to heaven, you'll have to go through the cross of Calvary. Now, the Bible's telling us some things this morning. I want to just give you a few verses. We talked about the definition of wisdom. Let me look this morning in the Bible at some Bible verses where wisdom is absent, or the absence of wisdom. I believe with all my heart, how many in this room could say, "Preacher, I've made some decisions in my life where wisdom was absent." Amen. I didn't make that decision in a wise manner. Amen. I didn't do what I did of seeking after the principles of God's Word. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In Isaiah 5:21, it says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Can I tell you this? Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be ugly. But some of the ugliest situations you'll find yourself in is when a man is boasting in his own education or in his own knowledge. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, if it makes me want to throw up, I believe it makes a God of heaven want to throw up. Amen. We're supposed to be boasting in Him and not boasting in ourselves. The Bible said here that wisdom is missing. It's absent. The Bible said, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." I didn't mean to say this, but it just is. It come to my mind. It's Super Bowl Sunday. There'll be a whole lot of people drunk as a skunk this evening. Are you listening to me? But they're not going to do that in wisdom. The Bible said, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise." And let me just say this to you this morning. If you don't take the first drink, you don't have to worry about taking too many drinks. We ought even not look on the wine when it moveth itself aright. Talking about fermentation, the Word of God said, amen. It got people who argue and say, well, as long as you don't get drunk. I tell you what, if you don't drink it, you'll never get drunk. You'll never get drunk. You say, oh, preacher, I know people that was a drunkard and God saved them and God used them. Hallelujah! Yes! But talk to them about the scars in their life that would have never been there had they been wise in their younger days and served the Lord. The Bible today, not only is wine causing men to be deceived, they're being deceived by the internet. They're being deceived by drugs. They're being deceived by materialism. And they're being deceived in their relationships. I tell you, I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but you better not hook up with somebody just because the way they look. Hey, I'm 55 years old. I don't look like I did when I was 15. Give me 15 more years and I won't look like I do now. I'm telling you, the outside of man is perishing. You better hook up with somebody because of their heart and not because of what you see on the outside. That's wisdom. The Word of God is telling us here in the Bible. There's the absence of wisdom in many circles today. Romans 12:16 said, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates, and be not wise in your own conceit. How many's ever met somebody that's conceited? I have a real beautiful phrase for that. Gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Amen. Conceited. I tell you what we are without Him is nothing. I tell you what we can do without Him. Nothing. That reminds me, I shared this in the prayer meeting last night. A lady that Sister Geraldine, she memorized scripture all of her life. She loved the Bible. She loved the Word of God. And I read this yesterday morning. It so blessed my heart. She memorized verse after verse after verse. But finally in her latter years, she got down to just one verse. I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And finally her mind faded a little more and faded a little more. And all she could remember of the verse was committed unto Him. Committed unto Him. And finally her mind faded a little more and she could just remember Him. Him. I say glory to God, that's enough right there. Him. That's what it's all about. You have a little bit of wisdom. Not about you, not about me, it's about Him, the God of heaven, the Lord of glory. Oh, beloved friend, wisdom. We see it defined, but we see it's missing, the absence of the principal thing, the thing that God said ought to be at the top of the list, many times is not there at all. We've had prayer requests for our young people. They're deciding on careers. They're deciding on colleges. They're deciding on in relationships. And let me just say this. The principal thing is wisdom. They need to know God's mind about the situation. And I'll tell you, my friend, a wisdom can come only from above. The wisdom that comes from beneath is sensual. And it's ungodly. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure. And God wants to help us. He wants to protect us. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, listen, or compare ourselves with some of them that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, listen to this, are not wise. God knows who the best Christian in this building is. I don't. And by the way, I'll just say this. If you are the best Christian in this building, you don't know it either. Say amen right there. The person closest to Christ is the one that deems himself the furthest away and the most needs to be done in his life. But the Bible said they comparing themselves with themselves. You know what would be good if every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night, we come to the house of God not to compare ourselves with ourselves. That's not wise. But to put Jesus up here and to compare ourselves with Him. How many of you men have ever worked in a machine shop? Know anything about machine shop? Anybody know anything about a machine shop? Know anything about micrometers and calipers, Brother Gary, and all that stuff? That's stuff that you measure with. You can measure the thickness of something within a tenth of a thousandth of an inch. Well, in a machine shop, it's important for the machinist to have something called a standard. This guy can't run over here and compare his micrometer to the guy in the toolbox next to him and then go over here and compare it to him. And oh, you have to have a room. It's an inspection room. Are you listening to me this morning? And in that inspection room, there's a standard. And when you take that standard and pick it up and you set your mic to that standard, the temperature has to be the same. The humidity has to be the same. That even the standard would change if it was a little warmer or a little colder. It has to be just perfect. How many knows Jesus is the perfect standard, and He's the one we're supposed to be comparing ourselves to? He's the perfect standard. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I've done this before. Boy, it ain't pretty. If you go in there to check your mic and you drop the standard has to be done away with. And you have to have another perfect standard. All you have to do is drop it and you can't use it anymore. Let me just go ahead and say this. You know what's wrong in America? Church after church after church after church. Family after family after family. Give me that book, brother. Give me that book. Have dropped the standard. Are you listening to me? Amen. Right here is the standard, the precious old word of God. Amen. We're not supposed to measure ourselves one with another. God said that's not wisdom. That's not the principal thing. That's not wise. We're supposed to measure ourselves up with Him. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 3, for we've all come short, sinned, and come short of the glory of God. I might compare myself to you and say, well, I'm doing okay. You might compare yourself to Pastor and say, well, I'm doing okay. I like what Brother David Ring preached years ago. He got up in a suit, something like I've got on this morning. And the title of his message was, I'm not okay and you're not okay. And when he went to preach and he pulled his coat off and his long sleeves were shredded. They were just shredded. He pulled his shoes off and the whole front half of his foot was sticking out of the sock. He said, hey, we want everybody to think we're okay on the outside. He said, but down underneath, I'm not okay and you're not okay. We need to get in His presence. That's wisdom. And let Him fix what needs to be fixed in our lives. You see, think about this for just a minute. I didn't mean to get into this. If it gets in your little playhouse, I don't know, I didn't do it on purpose, but kind of reminds you of Common Core. It don't matter if 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. What matters is how you arrive with the answer. I'm going to tell you something right now. It does matter that 2 + 2, that's an absolute. Let me tell you an absolute. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll fry in hell. Are you listening to me? The only reason I'll never go to hell is because His precious blood has been applied in my life. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been born again. And I tell you, without that new birth, there'll be no ticket to heaven. I believe with all my heart. With all my heart. I can't remember who I was discussing this with yesterday. If salvation cost $20,000, there would be more people going to heaven than there is today. We'd be over there in children's church training them. Young, as soon as you get big enough, learn how to mow somebody's yard and make a little bit of money. Make sure the first thing you get done in life is get that ticket to heaven paid for. Don't worry about that college education. Make sure you got that ticket to heaven paid for. I'm telling you, there'd be more people saved if it cost. But listen, you say, preacher, why aren't they saved? But I tell you, because wisdom is not the principal thing. The Bible said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. The absence of wisdom. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, here's a little word in the Bible. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It may not be original with my brother, but he's the one I heard say it. It's kind of a cute little saying, and it really says a lot if you think about it. My brother said to me one day, he said, Rick, he said, it's what you learn after that you know it all that really counts. Amen. There are a whole lot of know-it-alls in the world, ain't they? Amen. And I tell you, the Bible said that fools, they despise wisdom. They despise instruction. There's some people in this world, you cannot tell them anything. God said that individual's a fool. I'm not going to call anybody a fool, but when the Bible says it, I'll go ahead and say it with the Bible. God told me not to run around telling people they're a fool. Amen. But God said that a fool, he despises. I used to talk to the men in prison. Well, I did more than talk to them. I kind of preached to them a little bit. But I used to tell them this. I said, men, if you'll think about it, the trouble that you're in today can be traced back to a place in your life where there was a lack of respect for the authority that God placed in your life. Listen to him carefully. I don't believe that's going on in this church. I don't believe we're that naive. But the average home in Bloomingdale, just because a youngin's mad at the teacher and wants to talk bad about the teacher, the average home, that would just go over. That, why, it's just a little thing. I'm going to tell you something. That little thing could turn into a big thing. That back-talking your mama, back-talking your daddy, how many knows that little thing can turn into a big thing? I'm telling you right now, that disrespect for authority, I don't care if it's a pastor or a teacher, I don't care if it's a policeman, I don't care if it's the principal, I don't care if it's a mother or a father, I tell you, disrespect for the authority that God has placed in our lives is highly unwise. How would you like to be some of these, Brother Gale, that's trying to fix the Bible? You know what their problem is? The authority that God has placed in their life. That's their problem. They don't want to accept that authority. They want to change that authority. But can I tell you something right now? We're going to meet this word one day after a while. It's not going to change for you or me or anybody else. Wisdom, the definition, the absence of wisdom. The Bible said the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. He that walketh with wise men. Brother Brian, I about shouted in Sunday school, brother. You were talking about the company that you keep. Listen to this verse. The Bible said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you want to build up wisdom, then run with wise people. Don't run with fools. I used to tell the men in prison, the crowd you run with will determine the course that your life takes. Her sister was requesting prayer last night in the prayer meeting. Situations down at the school. I'm going to tell you what, when them situations are not scriptural, you better get away from them. When people hate God and hate the Word of God and hate the Church of the Living God, you better just stay away from them. And in so doing, you'll be a light. Amen. Don't you swallow that lie. Well, in order to win them, you got to be like them. That's why the average church sounds like a rock and roll band today. I'll say it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before we'll have a contemporary service for them and a traditional service for the rest of them. I didn't mean to say that, but that junk is not wise. That didn't come from God. Brother Brian taught us in Sunday school, we need that old path. We need to find it. We need to get in it. We need to stay in it. For the glory of God Almighty. Fools, listen to what the Bible said. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. You ever heard something like this? Well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. How many's ever heard something like that? What's my business? If I want to just fill in the blank. If I want to, I think Brother Brian touched on that. That's my business. No. No man lives unto himself. And no man dies unto himself. Fools make a mock at sin. I was reading a piece of material by Brother Adrian Rogers. He's in heaven with the Lord now. I believe that. Every time I've ever heard him preach, he preached the Word of God and it was straight. And if he was addressing sin from his pulpit, you could tell he wasn't trimming any corners. He just preached on sin the way sin ought to be preached on. Right? Brother Adrian Rogers said years ago that, I don't know if it was himself or some others, it may have been himself, that sat down with some of the people from Hollywood. And they said, in order to have a successful sitcom, they said it was necessary to break at least 3 of God's commandments in making the sitcom. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. We've been deceived into laughing at sin. Now, we all have our limits, don't we? I mean, we might laugh at that, but we ain't gonna laugh at that. But I'm gonna tell you this, if it's contrary to the Word of God, you can listen, I love Andy Griffith. But even Andy Griffith, you could see a transition if you'll look at the episodes of Andy Griffith. You can see him come over there where smoking's okay. You can see him come over there where the lodge is okay. You can see him come over there. All right, Emily's listening to me. You know, where you can deceive and lie a little bit and it's okay. I'm going to tell you right now, none of that stuff's okay. I don't care if Andy says it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. God wants us to understand that we can have wisdom. He wants us to make it the principal thing, the main thing. Not something way down the list. He wants us to make it a priority in our lives. How can wisdom be a priority when the Bible lays on the shelf from Sunday to Sunday? Or lays in the back seat of the car. Or the trunk. Or under the coffee table. Wisdom. God said, listen, there's the absence in many places. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The Bible said in Romans 1:22, you understand what crowd that's talking about there. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to tell you something right now. When the President of the United States of America gets up, listen, I don't care what university he graduated from, when he came out and said it's all right for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a man, a woman, he, my friend, might have professed to be wise, but he became foolish in doing so. A fool would get up and say something's good and something's all right that God said was wrong. A fool. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? God would say to his youngins, how many of you raise your hand and say, I'm one of his youngins, preacher? God would say to us this morning, we're living in a generation where they're trying to fool us. They're trying to trick us, Brother Arnold. Amen. They're messing with our youngins' minds. And my friend, it starts in high school. Used to, you didn't have to worry about it till the university. But now they want to train you and pump you and prime you and program you. You better let the Word of God program you. You say, preacher, that's old fashioned. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's wise. It's still wise to follow the precepts of the Word of God. It's still wise. It's still wise. God wants us to see that in many circles, there's the absence of wisdom. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Jesus told his disciples, I can't remember exactly where it's at. I meant to look it up, but the Holy Ghost just brought it back to my memory. He said, you're going out, yonder. I'm paraphrasing. I figure if Brother Brian can get by with paraphrasing, I can too. Amen. But he said, I want you to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. You see, listen to me carefully right here. You can say, well, you can't have that Bible in that school. I believe you could be as wise as serpents. You can't have a prayer meeting in that school. Oh, yes, you could. Hey, study it out. All that's got to be done is initiated by the students. Study it out. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God, raise up some young people that don't want to be duped and fooled by Hollywood and by the world and the foolishness that's going on in this world. God wants us to be wise. He said, wisdom. Now listen to me. Brother John, he didn't say it was. And he didn't say it's going to be. He said it is the principal thing. When Solomon wrote that, it was the principal thing. In 2015, it's still the principal thing. If God lets us live to 2020, it would still be the principal thing. The principal thing. Brother Mark, you'll never know this side of heaven what an encouragement you've been to this pastor. But that night when the Holy Ghost of God dealt with your heart, you could have went the other way. You had done that before. But for the first time in your life, wisdom was leading instead of foolishness. You say, preacher, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I read about, there's nothing racist about what I'm saying in just old-timey days. I read about a little black boy that was polishing shoes. That's the way it used to go on a lot. And he used to go into some of these farmers' markets and things. They'd have two chairs there. And that youngin', he would put that paste on one pair of shoes. And while it was drying, he'd be over here buffing it off the other pair of shoes. One man was sitting up in that stand there. He was sitting there getting his shoes polished. And he was reading the New Testament. The other man looked over at him and said, what you reading? He said, I'm reading the Bible, the New Testament. He said, surely you don't believe that, do you? He said, surely I do. He said, don't you? He said, no. He said, I don't believe there is a God. That little boy's rag was just a fly, and all of a sudden, put on the brakes. He looked up at that man and said, mister. He said, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look at there, mister. You done went and blabbed it out of your big mouth. That's where we're living today. People's not ashamed to blab it out of their big mouth. Are you listening to me? They might have a big mouth, but oh God, give us a big heart, a heart full of wisdom to know that that garbage has never helped anybody and will never help anybody. There's no hope in it, Brother Larry. There's no change in it. This morning, if you don't believe me, I'll show you my notes. We're getting started. If you'll come back tonight, we'll continue. Wisdom is the principal thing. Let me just say this morning. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Anybody knows me knows that. But if you're able on Sunday night to be in the house of God and you choose not to be, that's not wise. Sometimes you just got to put things down there where people live. If you're able and you choose not, if you choose to watch a stupid ball game tonight instead of being in the house of God, I said that is not wise. He said, preacher, you'll never have a crowd like that. I'd rather have him anyway. I'd rather have his approval. He said, well, preacher, I'm going to keep sipping on that beer bottle. I don't care. As long as I don't get drunk, I think it's all right. I said, you're not wise. And I got Bible to back me up. Some of us, if we would stand in this building, myself included, and begin to confess what we've been involved in our lives, it'd make a hair stand up on the back of your head. You say, well, who in the world do you think you are? I tell you who I am. I'm a child of God that God woke up, caused him to come to himself, caused him to run to Jesus, changed my life. And I don't want my youngins and grandyoungins carrying the same stinking scars that I'm carrying in my life. First cousin years ago, her daughter, Baltimore, Maryland, outside of Edgewood, raped and murdered. There's some ugly people in this world. And we'd be wise to stay away from them. We'd be wise not to run with them. Amen. How many believes wisdom is the principal thing? I done read it to you in the Bible. Surely you can believe the Bible. It's the principal thing. Brother Brian and I, we converse and talk. He's of great help to me. I remember I hadn't been here long as pastor. Brother Brian said something about some of the older men in the church. He said, Pastor, we need their wisdom. And I agree with that, brother, wholeheartedly. I'm not there yet. I don't have all the answers. We need God's men and God's ladies to be wise. We need their wisdom. Amen. They know some things we don't know. They've been down some roads. And they know the ins and outs many times a lot better than we do. Brother John, your dad's got some wisdom about him, don't he, brother? I can tell just hanging around him. You can tell him, I said, he's done a pretty good job raising that John, okay? But me or you, neither one ain't got all the wisdom that he's got now, brother. We can look up to men. And I do. I remember in our first prayer meeting, Brother Ralph, I asked somebody to go to my office and pray that God would give the pastor wisdom to lead this church. I don't know if you know it or not, but this job's too big for me.
Amen.
Oh, you say this ain't a real big church. Eh. You just take it for a while. I need him. I need his help. I need his wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. Thank you, God, this morning that, Lord, you know what we have need of even before we ask. But, God, you said to ask. Lord, you more or less gave Solomon a blank check. Solomon asked for the right thing. He asked for wisdom. Lord, as we go into this month of preparing and presenting a budget, preparing and presenting a staff, oh God, how we need wisdom. Lord, this Amanda last night, Lord, put her faith and her trust in You. You made her clean and You made her whole and You made her different. How she needs wisdom now, Lord, to be the light to those precious babies. Papa needs wisdom. God, we all need wisdom. Lord, help us not to be guilty of putting it down low in the list of priorities. Help us to put it at the top. Find ourselves, Lord, engulfed in Your Word day after day after day. Find ourselves talking to You, Lord, in that secret place. Oh God, help us. I pray, Lord, this morning for that individual that's never been saved, never been born again. May this be the hour, Lord, You would stir in their heart. Help them, God, to do the wise thing and to trust Jesus. Father, this morning, help us all. Help us at the church, our Father. Lord, I believe those years, many, many years that Brother Jack stood in this place, he knew, God, that he needed help that comes from above. And God, that's not changed. We still need that help. You've been good to us, Lord. You've been good to us. Help us, God, in all Thy getting to get wisdom and to get understanding.